Okay, we're picking up the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis towards the Sha'alu. So the Gemara continues, Sha'alu Tamei Debes Rabbi Preda, continuing the discussion of different Tanaim, what they were able to live long, such long lives for. So they asked Rabbi Preda, what practice did you do that gave you Arichos Yamim, give you such long life? Nobody ever came to shul before me. I was always the first one there. I opened up the shul. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd be the one who was the first ever. No one ever came before me. Velo verachti lifnei kohen. I never did benching in front of a kohen. That was considered a very big honor. The kohen says v'kidasho. The Gemara in Gittin learns out that a person should kol davar shebikdusha. A person is supposed to be giving to a kohen. That comes to getting aliyah. That also refers to leading the benching. Times of Gemara is a much more chashuv kibud, because not only would you lead the benching, but there was what's called a birch. That the three people benching together, only one person would be mevarech for all of them. It's similar to like a tefillah together, like tefillah berab and tefillah chazar sashat, similar thing, that they together, the birchas chabura, the three of them would kilu bench together. One would be motzah the others in benching. The only reason we don't do it nowadays is because we have a hard time concentrating for all of those brachas, and also we don't necessarily understand every word. To be otzeh shomei ke'ona, birchas chabura actually made a difference for that. Not necessarily understanding word, but the fact that just batzim is that the main reason we don't do it nowadays is because the fact that we can't concentrate that much. There are some places, some yeshivas, that actually they do it out loud, and Nar Yotzei the Rei that really they didn't in a Gemara was. Anyway, so it was a very big kibud, and whenever there was a kohen, he would honor them. And I was makbid to never eat any meat of an animal who didn't they take off the matnas kuna. We're talking about over here the zro alachayim vekeva, the three things that the parts of an animal, of a cow, a sheep, or a goat, those things you have to separate the foreleg, the jaw, and the stomach, those three things, the zro alachayim vekeva, those things are given as a matnas kuna. So he was makbid not to eat it. The Gemara explains, analyzing that third machlok, that third practice, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asur l'echol mibeima shalom ramasne asreya. It's asur to eat the meat of an animal you didn't take off the Yisrael l'chaim of the keva. Amar Yitzchak, Olcha mibeima shalom ramasne nali. That's someone who eats an animal who did not take off the matnos kahuna off of them. Kiilu olchel tevalim. It's as if you had eaten teva. Like similarly, if you have a 100 apples and you don't take off any of the chumas of ma'isos, a person's chayav misa b'dishamayim for eating that, and its whole thing is called teva. Even though if you're eating one, who says the one is the one you're going to take off? That's the chuma. No, it's considered the whole thing together is called tevel. It's usher. So hold to here. All the meat is usher until you take off the matnas kahuna. However, the lacha does not follow him, and that means that at the end of the day, obviously you're supposed to give matnas kahuna. But if you had eaten from an animal which had not, the person had violated the lacha, not given it to matnas kahuna, you would still be the food is still kosher for you to eat. So he was makban on himself. This was an extra chumrah. Rabbi Preda went beyond the regular norm of halacha, and he didn't eat the meat of an animal, and this was a special chumrah that he had on himself. So now the Gemara analyzes the second point of Rabbi Preda did, that he would not make a bracha before a kohen. So the Gemara says, Lemirmer demalyasi. That implies that this is a good thing that he did, that he didn't, that he let the kohen bench instead of him. Even if you let the kohen gadol, who was an am haaretz, he didn't know any halacha. So he's ignorant. He doesn't know any halacha. Also, Talmud Chacham chayav misa. That Talmud Chacham is chayav misa, is chayav death, is chayav misa. Shenemar kol misanai ahavu mavis. All those who hate me, the Torah, they love death. Don't say the letters of those who hate me. Rather, ela masni'ai. Rather, read it the ones as masni'ai, those who cause others to hate me. What is this? Why is he causing others to hate him? By, Rashi explains, by giving over your kavod, that you are the Torah, you're the Talmud Chacham, and you're supposed to be benching, leading the benching. By giving that kavod over to Amma Aretz, who's a Kohen, you're showing that the Torah is not important to you, and Torah is not important to you because you're giving somebody who's unworthy of receiving any honor, and therefore you're chayiv misa bidei shemaim. So why was it a good thing that Rabbi Preda let a Kohen bench instead of him? So the Gemara answers, Ki amar iyo b'shavin. So the Gemara says that we have to give the answer that when it's talking about leading the benching, he gave it to someone who is equal. If you have someone who's a Talmud Chacham, who's a Kohen, then obviously it would be a very beneficial thing for him to give him to let him lead the benching. Now, Tosos just point out, but there's a problem over here. If they're a Shavin, then what was the chiddush of what he did? The Chiddush still teaches us, Tosos asks, L'chol davar shebikdusha, levarach rishon, and here also he should be, if he's on the same level. So Tosos given the answer, it must be that actually he was not on the same level. Chadish over here, that a Kohen who's just any Talmud Chacham, who's any Kohen who's a Talmud Chacham, then he would be allowed to lead the benching. That's why, let's say, I'm going to Rav Shechter's, I remember, I used to eat by Abraham, it's also, so they are Mechaber to Kohen, so what's the answer? Hopefully, this person is learning in a Shiva, he's hopefully a Talmud Chacham, so therefore, that would be this halacha that we would be allowed, even, they're definitely not on the level of Rav Shechter or Rav Nemtzal, but we'd be allowed to, as long as, based on this Tosos, I think that's what's quoted in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, that I don't have a chance to look it up, but I think we pass like this Tosos, I'm assuming that we saw this happen by them, so that you would be allowed to be Mechaber mechabed a kohen as long as he's holding. But if he mamash shabbat amaris doesn't know any halacha, I don't know. It sounds like that would be a serious issue to let him lead the benching over if there was a talmud chacham there, someone who is on a very high caliber of learning. So now the Gemara continues. Another Tana, Shailo Tamina Rabbi Chanun ben Akana. So what were you, Bimar Aftayam, and what were you able to live so long for? Amar Lahem, Biyamai Lo Niskabdi Bekalan Chaver. I never received any honor from someone else shaming himself. Velo also Eloa Mitosi Kleos Chavera, Uvachem Moni Aisia. Now also, my friends, I never like went to bed angry at someone, wanted to curse someone. Uvachem Moni Aisia. Also, I was very generous in giving my money away to Aniyim, to people who needed it, whatever it was. I was very generous in giving away money. Lunar explains the first one. I never had any honor from the shame of someone else. Kiha Rav Huna Dare Mare Akafta. So it was a similar story where Rav Huna was carrying a shovel on his shoulder. Asa Rav Chana Bar Chalina Vechadari Minei. Rav Chana Bar Chalina came and he wanted to take it from him. Rabbi, you're holding the shovel. Let me hold it for you. Amar Lei Iraglis the Derech Maaseich. If you're accustomed to carrying these type of like a really think it's more than a shovel, it's more like a spade in your town, Dari, then you should carry. They're not allowed you to. However, Lo, if you're not usually carrying, you think that would be something which is demeaning to you to walk like that in public. So then I say, Ana Bezilusati Dach Lo Nichle. No, thank you. I don't want to honor myself with your you're degrading yourself. That's not nice for me to get honor from you degrading yourself. I usually walk around. I'm not embarrassed to walk around with this spade. However, you're going to walk around with this spade and be embarrassed. I do not want to have any honor from that. That's the showing. That's an example of someone who's not having niskavti bekalon chaver. That's an example of that. Now the Gemara says the second practice, Rabbi Nechuna. I never had a curse come onto my bed. When you climb up on his bed to go to sleep, I forgive anyone who has aggravated us. That's the nisach a lot of people have in the Kriya Shema Shalamita. We say, I forgive anyone who has mitzar me, anybody who has, it's based off of this, that anyone who has aggravated me, who has caused harm to me, I forgive them. So I never went to bed in a state where of anger against anybody. Also, I was very generous in giving my money away. Damar Mar, Iov Vacham Memoniav, Iov was very, also very generous in giving away his money. Shayamaniach Puta Lechenvani Memoniav, and out of that, he would leave over extra money. He would give tips to the Chenvani, he would give extra money to them. That's something as a person who is considered to be a, this person is considered to be a generous person. Shal Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Chanun ben Rabbi Nechuna Agadol. This was Rabbi Nechuna Agadol, not Rabbi Nechuna Mekana, rather Nechuna Agadol. He was in the times of Rabbi Akiva. He's mentioned, the Seder Adoros mentions that he's mentioned a few other places in Shas. Okay, so this apparently is a different Rabbi Nechuna, who's someone else, but he is a Gadol, he's considered the great one. But Merach Tal Yamin, what practice have you had that you had such a long life? The servants came and they started hitting Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rashi explains that they thought that this is lack of kavod, lack of disrespect to ask this type of question to him. So Salik Yasi Varesh Dikla, he was like running away from them. He had to climb on top of a tree to escape his servants. They were trying to attack him. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Nechuna from the tree, he asked him a shayla, Rabbi, Nimar Keves Lama Nimar Echad. Why does it say, in reference to as a keves echad tase babuke, why say it says echad? I know keves usually refers to one, lamb. So why are you mentioning it in the lashon of echad? So he asked him the shayla. He realized. So he said Amar Lehu. So then he's Rabbi Nechuna says turban rabban havi. He's a young talmid chacham. Let him. It must be at the age of 40 because Rabbi Akiva was mechaber tshuva after that. So I don't know exactly when the story happened, but he's a young talmid chacham. Shakul, leave him alone. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Nechuna said to Rabbi Akiva. So he said echad miyuchad shebeedro. This is considered. This why the inclusion of one is teaching you that the keves echad in the morning has to be lechor the most chashuv. I think in its flock. That's what miyuchad shebeedro has to be the most chashuv one in its flock, and we mean the most chashuv one to be giving as the korban tamid in the boker needs to be a very high level. Amar lois. So they said to Rabbi Nechuna said to him, "Yamai lo kibalti madon." So he explained why I have a rechus yamim because I never accepted any gifts. I never want to extract punishment from anybody who did wrong to me. Uvachem money ayisi, and also. Also, I was very generous with the money. Loki bani matanos, I didn't accept any gift. Kedar Belazar, kevim shadali matanos minasiya from the nasi's house. Very chashuv things. They would offer very chashuv gifts. Lave shakil did not accept any of them. Kiavi mizamnilei. Whenever they invited him to a banquet, lave azo, he didn't go to a big meal. Amar luhu lo nichali daachoye. You don't like me. You don't want me to die. Somebody who waits getting gifts is going to live. So I want to live, and that's why I never took any gifts. A whole shiloh, what exactly is the deep yisod? Why is it so bad to get a gift from somebody else? Is it that you're relying on somebody else? Is that at the end of the day, everything is from Hashem? Different concepts over here. Why? What exactly is so bad about getting? They're going to expect favors from you, the things you're uncomfortable doing, whatever it might be, getting a gift from someone. That's what is not necessarily recommended to always rely or hope to get a gift from people. Rabbi Zira, Kevin Meshadir, Levin Bein Nasiya, Rabbi Zira, whenever he got gifts from the Nasi's, from the Nasi, Lo Yav Shakel, he didn't accept Kevin Mazan Azil. However, when they invited him to go to the big party or to a big meal, Amrei Sarka the Maskele, because he said that it's an honor for them when I come, and therefore they're going to be honored by me coming, and therefore he didn't consider it, it didn't think it was a matana, rather he felt that it's actually for them that he'd be going. A person knows his place, and if say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, like he would always try to make an effort. He knew that if he would go to certain yeshiva dinners that he respected a lot, or certain fundraisers and things like that, that a lot more people would come, people would donate, etc. So he made an extra effort when he was older. I think in Florida, there was a whole story of myself, it was pouring rain, and no one thought he would go. He was very old at the time, very weak, and he made an extra effort to go to the dinner because he felt, I forgot what organization was, he felt it was very important so that people would realize if he goes that they would want to go. That's the yakra of the people, and not because he wanted to enjoy the suda there. But he felt that at this point. Now they work at the Midosai, I never try to punish anyone who did wrong to me. Damar Rava Kalamavir Midosav, anybody who is somebody who doesn't, if someone embarrasses him and you don't respond, right? You don't try to punish someone back and get back at someone. Ma'avin Mimenal Kopeshav, you're going to have all of your Averas forgiven. Shnemar Nose Avon Ve'over Al Pesha, someone who forgives transgressions and you forgive also sins. Love me and say, Avon, who does Hashem forgive your sins for the Misha over Apesha? For someone who has an additional love and petition over here, it means that you're going to pass over your things that were done wrong to you. Then Hashem is going to, obviously, Mida Kanyam Mida, then he's going to pass over the Averas that you have done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're Mida Kanyam Mida, you're going to be good. So then also Hashem will be, you're not going to expect anything from someone who did wrong to you. Then Hashem will also forgive you for anything that you've done wrong as well. And that's the story of Rabbi Kiva we had in Tainis. The Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva is the one who was Nene because he was Marvi Al Midosav. Insulted him and done to him, and Rabbi Kiva never responded. That was the schus that Rabbi Kiva had, which is why he was someone who was granted to have the Klal Yisrael be Nene. I think it was Rabbi Kiva. I mentioned in Gemara and Tainis. Shal Rabbi, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, b'merach tamim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, what did you have such long life? Amar lo katzi b'chayai. He says, you don't like me? Amar lo, so he said, no, but Rabbi Torah and Matarach. He says, I'm just like wondering, like, why are you living so long? Not like why, no, I want to know, how you're able to live so long. I never looked at the face of a Russia. A person is not supposed to look at the face of a Russia. In the Yoshpat, I will gaze at you and I will see you. Rabbi Lezer, enough coast. Not only that, your eyesight is going to be dim. Shnemar, Yitzchak came old and his eyesight became frail. He couldn't see. Because he would look at the face of his son, Esav, and realize that there was a Russia, but he was a big Russia. And from that, he was unable to see. And the Gemara says, that caused him to lose sight. We saw before, a person should never take a curse of even a regular person. He should always be careful that no one should curse him. So even a small person, Avimelech, he's not a tzaddik at all. And he killed Sarah. He gave a klala to Sarah and his kambazar. And not only that, that was fulfilled with her children, with Yitzchak. Hinehu lachak susinayim. Avimelech gave back to her a gift. He gave her and he said, this is a garment for honor because the Pasha this guy looked at you, that this is going to be a garment that I'm going to, as a kapara, as an atonement for what I had done. Don't say ksus, rather the pasuk should be stood as ksiyas, a covering for the eyes. Sarah, you had deceived me, claiming that you're Avram's sister, so therefore he gave Sarah a curse that her eyes should also become covered. This was a reference that she should become blind. Now, it didn't happen to her, but it was mekuyam with her child, that Yitzchak eventually did become blind. So the Gemara asks again, which one was it? So which one caused Yitzchak to be blind? The worst answer is no. Hava hagam relay. Both of them caused Yitzchak to lose his eyesight. So we see over here there's a concept. A person's not supposed to be looking at the face of a Russia. It has ramifications. A person knows that the person's a very big Russia. You're not supposed to be staring at his face. There's a famous story, I don't know if it's true, but they say about the Brisk Rav that Ben Gurion was trying to figure out the state was being created, that how they're going to relate to the religious and the secular. I think originally they said who is the biggest rabbi here, or whatever they asked him, and they said he should go to the Brisk Rav. He represents the Torah jury, and the Brisk Rav refused to see him because of this Gemara that he's a Russia. I can't look at his face and I can't see him. So then he went to the Chazon Ish, and there's a whole lot of legends, and exactly what happened there is not exactly sure until this day. There's an article written about it, but there's a lot of things that are mentioned there. But there are, they definitely did have a conversation. They definitely spoke back about it. I think it's in the memoirs of Ben Gurion, memoirs of one of his age, of a representative, whatever it is. There was a famous meeting between the Chazon Ish, and that may have only started because, I don't know if the story is true, but I heard the story that the Brisk Rav rejected seeing the Chazon Ish, rejected seeing Ben Gurion because he was a Russia. Either way, where it says Rava Amar Mehacha, Rava says from here, to regard the face of a Rasha, it's not a good thing. So when Rabbi Yeshua was dying, Amar lo, Rabbi Barcheni, give us a bracha. Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua answered him, you should be able to live half my days. Unless he was up to 100, I don't know who it was. He's like, cool, what do you mean? I want to reach Yom, you give me a bracha, I should die so young. Amar lo, only 50, whatever the age was, you want those who follow you should be grazing animals. If you long as long as I did, then your children are not going to be able to follow your footsteps and become the Nasi. So, however, if you die younger, then they'll be able to become the Nazi and they'll be chash of a people. So we see not always HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great plans, not necessarily as Arichas Yamim for every single person, the best of options, whatever. We don't, obviously we don't know the ways of Hashem, but that's what we see over here from this Gemara. Avua bar umin yamin bar ihi. Chad Amar once said, tasty deloy saga bekusia. I never looked at a kusi. Usually these are centered Gemaras. Usually it should be Avor Dazara, someone who's the Christians, they censored all this stuff because, so we always had to change the gears to kusi. Really probably is an akum. I never made a partnership with a non-Jew. Also, as the Gemara in Bechoro says, right? In the beginning of Bechoro, the Gemara tells us that it's usher to make a shutfus with a non-Jew. The Gemara says, because he might swear, not necessarily a non-Jew, with someone who is over to Avodah Zarah, because he might swear to his Avodah Zarah. Shalot Tamina Vatsrabi Zera B'merachtam, why did you have a long life? Whenever I got anger in my house, and you know, the person outside the house can be like the sweetest guy, but inside the house, a lot of times, a lot of things were frustrating, kids, this and that, and it's easier for a person to become angry. That's a chiddush over here. Even inside his house, he never got angry. Kol shekin, obviously, outside his house. V'lozari p'nei mida kamen, I never walked in front of someone who's greater than me. V'lohi ra'at m'vot s'mdenofas, I never learned Torah in places that were dirty. It's usher to think about Torah, right? V'lohi lachtad al amas b'l Torah. Tefillin, I never walked for amas without Torah. Tefillin, v'lohi yashantim v'beis amidrash, never slept in the beis amidrash. Lo shenas kevel, lo shenas arai. Not a full sleep or a short sleep. For Talmud Chacham. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's usher to sleep a shenas keva. Shenas arai is mutter. Rabbi Zera was machnis lechora. The chumrah of Rabbi Zera was that he didn't sleep even a shnas arai in the base of midrash. Velo sasti betakalas chavera. I never rejoiced at somebody who was falling, or my friend if he fell down. All right, they shouldn't rejoice in my fallings. Also, that's what we ask. Adam Tashem would be embarrassing. Velo krasi lechavera bechanichos or bechanichoso or bechanisoi. I didn't give him a nickname. We see the Gemara in Tainis tells us that it's usher to call someone by their nickname. That's a whole shayla. If a person has a nickname, if it's a derogatory one, that actually would, that's definitely going to be usher if it's one that's embarrassing him. But if it's even one that he goes, if he goes by and doesn't mind it, lechora, it may be heter. But again, there's a shayla in general about going by a nickname. So Gemara says leb leb chaniyaso, and I call him by his, if it had a negative connotation, I wouldn't call him by his main name either. So again, lechora, the whole purpose is that you don't embarrass him. If it's something that'll be embarrassing, you shouldn't call him that. But if it's something you don't mind, then in echanami, that's going to be okay. Now we're up to the next mission. Vodomar Bihuda. Again, we'll get into the previous mishnah about selling a shul. That's another halacha. Basic message of Chariv, basic mikdash was destroyed, chas v'shalom. So then, ain must be the matocha, still not allowed to eulogize in it. It's usher to eulogize in a shul. We're going to get to this on a bays. Ve'ain mafshilim v'socha chavalim, there you're allowed to, a practice of just, twisting over, ropes. You should leave it, not do a melachas there. Vein porcelain, so matudos, don't spread nets in a shulchan aleh, agave peros, don't spread fruit on it. Veinos, sinoso, kapanje, also you're not supposed to use it as a shortcut. These all apply when the shul is going to be abandoned. Shenemar vashimotis mikdashchem, and I shall make your shuls, make your shuls desolate. Kedushas and ashkamak, we learn a drasha that the Torah is telling you that they're still kaddish even if they're desolate. So even lying ruins, because it says lashon of hishimosi, that is still going to be, even when they're destroyed, they're going to be kedushasan. The gra has, I think it's mentioned. I heard this from Rav Tavori Zatzal when he taught me this chiddush. We just had a few weeks ago. Parsha, it said Vayamas Melech Paro. So Rashi says from Chazal that he was Nitzara, that he became that he didn't actually die; he just became a Metzora. So why is it that Rashi learned that way? Why did Chazal learn that way? And similarly here, Vashimosi Mikdashkam. So the Gros says whenever you have a verb which is telling you Vashimosi, I'm going to do something, I'm going to make it, and then afterwards it defines the noun as something which is, or pronoun which is going to be something which is still, which still has the same name. That shows that it wasn't actually destroyed. It wasn't, and it didn't actually happen. He quotes it by Vayamas. It still calls him Vayamas, Paro Melech Mitzrayim. And so it still calls him Melech Mitzrayim, and it calls him Paro. So obviously, if he's still Melech Mitzrayim, that sounds like he didn't actually die. So if he didn't actually die, Chazal tells us there are four people who are like they're dead. There are four people who are like they're dead. So it must be one of those who are like they're dead. So the Chora, probably he's not poor, because he was the Melech Mitzrayim, and then he's very rich. And he had children. We know he had children. His Bechor died. Maybe Bechor Paro, we just learned that last week's Parsha. So what's left is that he was Nitzara. He got Sarah. So here also, when the verb is Hashemosi, and then it says still Mikdashchem, so we're learning out, it's still called Mikdashchem, it's still called your shul, your holy shul, even when it's in ruins. Aluba savim, if you have grass that's growing there in the ruined shul, bring them there agmas nefesh in order to continue the grief of the shul. Everyone should realize that they're going to see it overturned with grass. Remind people that there was a shul that was functioning there, and they're going to be able to restore it eventually for its ultimate purpose of having it be a shul. Now the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan batek nesos eino agen makalos rosh. A person is not supposed to act lightheaded in a shul. Eino ochel ben rasos, not supposed to eat in a shul. Ven shosim ben rasos, to drink in a shul. A person is not supposed to get dressed there, adorn yourself there. And you're also not supposed to just walk around in the shul. You're not supposed to walk in the summertime because it's nice and cool in there. There's a good AC. Or in the rainy season because it's inside and it's pouring rain. And also, you're not allowed to have a eulogy of a regular person in the shul. Many shuls have that rule. You're not supposed to have the regular person there. If it's a rav or the rav of the town, or maybe some have board members because they're involved in the shul, that's okay. That's the policy. But generally, a regular husband is not supposed to be done in a shul. A person is allowed to learn them. You're allowed to learn Mishnah from them. You're allowed to deliver a public eulogy. When a Talmud Chacham dies, that is considered covered a Torah, so that is allowed to be done in a shul. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when is this halacha said? Bishuvan, when they're still going to be considered, they're still shul. Amar Bechorban, and when they're destroyed, Menechinosan, you should leave them alone. Ve'olim ben asavin lo itlosh, Menei Agmas Nefesh. You're not supposed to be doing any of these functions. You're supposed to leave it in order that people should grieve over the shul that once was there. Asavin Mandachashmaya, what does it have to do with leaving over? Well, who mentioned anything about grass? The first time they never discuss anything about grass, it's just mentioning what you're supposed to do in a shul. So the Gemara answers, you're right. They're missing words in the Brice. You have to amend the Brice a little bit. You have to say that it means mechab denosan, that you should sweep in shuls. Umaritzenosan, also you should sprinkle water on the, you should have water on the floors. Kadesh le'yalim ben asavin, that the grass shouldn't grow there and should be a nice shul. Amar Yehuda, when is this? Emasai b'yeshuvan, when they are inhabited. Ava b'chorbanan, when they are destroyed. Manichanosan la'alos, you should let the grasses grow there in order that people should want to rebuild it and rebuild the shul. The Gemara continues, Allah ben Asavim, if the grasses did grow, lo yitlosh, should not uproot them in Nei Agmas Nefesh, because they should inspire grief. And then, again, we saw before that this should lead someone to want to rebuild it and to remember the Agmas Nefesh of the shul that once was there. Amar Avasi, but in Nesesh Bavel, shuls of Bavel, Al-Tanayin Asim, we built them on condition that they should be used for general purposes. This is a shaila, what can be changed by that? B'kidushasan, lechor, many assume that there's still usher to sleep in there. And as opposed to Kedusha of shuls and Eretz Yisrael, which are eternal, we're afraid they might get destroyed. Anyway, this is a very big shayla. There are many halachas about this. The shuls that do have a Kiddush have what to rely on, but Batim, in general, there are many like Batim and Joshas that have a rule that there should be no drinking or no eating, no coffee, nothing in a shul. It's a very nice, it gives also chashivas to the learning when a person has that. You're not supposed to have any lightheadedness there. My new, what is that? Cheshbonos, don't make any calculations or anything like that. Business calculations, but obviously, letzara chametzah, to like sell aliyahs, that would be permitted. Amar Ba'asi, based on Nesesh, Machshin Mal Cheshbonos, you do calculation. Malino, that's amazing. Eventually, it's going to have to deal with being like a morgue, like you have a dead body there. Malino, what do you mean? It's going to become a morgue? That's going to happen. No, someone's going to die, they're going to know where to bury it, they're going to like leave the dead body in the shul so that the people, the yidin in the town will have to bury him. They're going to leave in the shul as a punishment that they didn't treat the shul properly. That came about that the shul eventually turned into the morgue for the night and had the dead body there. You're not allowed to get dressed there or adorn yourself in there. For a Talmud Chacham, it is because it's like their house. Why is this more base midrash, but who I did by a shul as well? Why is it called Beir Rabbanan, the house of the Rabbanan? Base of the Rabbanan, it is really the home for Torah scholars, therefore that it's really like their house, and therefore it's something in which they're permitted to do their needs in it, and that it would be a heter for people who's spending most of their days in the shul. The Mark continues, one should not enter there if it is hot or if it's rainy. So the Gemara says, Ki Hadra Ravina, again, specifically for that purpose, they asked the question of Rava. It started pouring rain, crazy rain. And they came to the shul. We came into the shul, we just make a clarification. We're not going because it's raining, rather, we not personal comfort, rather, because we're learning and we need clarity, we need the north wind, and we also want to learn clearly, and the shul, and the base midrash is a place where we're able to learn better. If a person needs to call to someone in the shul, what should he do? He should enter the shul and say halacha. If he's just a student of the Mishnah, he should say a Mishnah. If he's a person who knows psukim, lema psukim say a pasuk ve'ilo, and if it does not, they think lema le'yanuka, such as ema le'psuka, tell me a pasuk, oh, inami nishe porta v'nekam, or stay in the shul a little bit and stay there before going on, meaning just staying in the shul is going to be a mitzvah also, not just using it for the purpose of something else, of having someone go in there. Masbinim and hespet shel rabim, a person's supposed to, you're allowed to give a rather, right? We're analyzing this point that you're giving a public eulogy. What's considered an example of a public eulogy? Chista said, Rosheshes, not even Rosheshes died, but someone in his household died, so everyone's going to go for the covet of Rosheshes. That's considered a hesped rabim, and you could do that in a shul. Machveh Rosheshes, Rosheshes mentioned, Kegon hesped dekai, beir Chista, or example, usually where Chista was there, everyone would want to come as the covet of Chista, and that's considered a hesped rabim. Rafram asapti the chalos of Ibn Chanishra. Rafram gave a eulogy for his daughter in law in the shul. Amar Mishum Yakar Didin Demisi, then honor the dead in honor of me also. Asukuli Alma, everyone's going to come, and it's therefore going to be considered a hesped rabim. Rav Zira, Safdei lahu v'rabbanim v'vei chanishar. He was masbid. He eulogized a certain talmud chacham in the shul. Amr ibn shum yakra didi. He said, if it's my honor, ibn shum yakra didi de meisei, or honor of the deceased, asu kuli alma, everyone's going to come to the eulogy. Rish Lakish, safdei lahu tzum v'rabbanim. Rish Lakish eulogized a talmud chacham. Deshachich barad Yisrael, who came to Yisrael, dehavilei tenei halachas v'chavtel shirusa. He said halachas in 24 rows of talmidim. Amr vaychas v'arad Yisrael gavar rabba. Rish Lakish said, of him, woe to Eretz Yisrael, lost such a great person. Someone who learned halachas, he learned tifras. He was a big talmud chacham. He died. Also, the amrulei of Nachan, they told him Nachan about this. And last but not they said they give a eulogy for him. Amrulei hachin nasprei. So he said, how shall I eulogize him? What praiseworthy thing can I say about this talmud chacham? A lot of sfarim have been lost. Even though he had a lot of information, he didn't fully understand everything. He didn't fully analyze everything properly, Rashi says. Therefore, he didn't understand what was really behind all the rulings, and therefore he found it difficult to give him a hesped. So the Gemara says, Tachazi, look at the difference. Ma bein takifei d'aretz Yisrael, the strong ones of Eretz Yisrael, Rish Lakish was in humility, he was still able to. He didn't even know this Talmud Chacham, yet he gave him a eulogy, and the Chassid in Bavel is considered God fearing. And Gemara Sota tells us that, and yet he's not willing to give a hesped. So we see that on a certain level, these Eretz Yisrael, strong ones, Rish Lakish is a very strong person. He wouldn't even talk to people. Yet here he lowered himself and he gave himself a tremendous humility by giving a hesped to this person. So the Gemara continues. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Udishamish Bataga Chalaf. Someone who utilizes the crown of the Torah is gonna die. Tanir Rish Lakish, Rish says that Mishtamish Mishishon Halachas refers to someone who utilizes someone who learns Halachas Kitreshal Torah and the crown of Torah for his own purposes. Yomar Ula Ula said Mishtamish Yinish B'man De Tanir Arba. A person should utilize someone who learned 4 of the 6 of Mishnayos. Mishtamish B'man De Masan Arba, but not someone who taught the 4 Siddharma of Mishnayos. Kihad Rish Lakish Havi Azab Orchar Rish Lakish once is going on the road. Mata Urkma Demaya. He reached a certain area where he had to like walk through a little bit of a pool of water that was gathering around him, and he Asa Hu Garve Arkave Akafte V'Kamarle. Someone put Rish Lakish on his shoulders and carried him across the water. So he shouldn't get wet, and his feet shouldn't get wet, right, and his legs shouldn't get wet. Amar Leh Rish Lakish said, Karis, did you learn? Amar Leh Karin, yeah, I did learn. Tanis, did you teach? Tanis, Arba, Sidra, Mishnah, yes, I taught 4 Sidra, Mishnah. So the Rish Lakish responded to him, Amar Leh, Shatlach, Arba, Turet, Vitana, Bar Lakish, Akaptach, you had said it, you learned out, you came out with these 4 Mesechtas of Mishnayos, and you're carrying Rish Lakish, Bar Lakish, he called himself Bar Lakish on your shoulders. He was like, he's saying, how can it be that I'm using you? Shadi Bar Lakish and Maya, throw me into the water, I don't want to use the Talmud Chacham. Amar Leh, Nichadin Shamin Lamar, it's a pleasure for me to serve the Talmud Chacham Rish Lakish. So Yachi Gamar Minay Hamilsa. So if you insist, so then fine. Damar Bizir Ibn Nosh, I'll tell you Allah. Nesherlech Mirna Atman, there's a lot of, there's the Gemara in Brachos, brings this up, that Ibn Israel had extra chumran upon themselves. Shafila Rosti Bas Damar Kachadal, even if they drop of blood, the size of a chardal, that's all Shalom. Any discharge is going to be enough to make a woman tamei on a level of daraisa. So the chumrah is that they would need shiva nekiim. Others say maybe it was actually the color is what they're being machmir on. If Yosha loves shiva nekiim, a lot of different interpretations. We showed them what exactly is the chumrah over here, but they would do shiva nekiim before going to mikvah, assuming that they were zavas, even if they were really nida. Lacha of nida. We assume everyone is a zava. The chumrah is manaseh. However, midaraisa, the real lacha is that a person who sees blood, if she's considered in her, if not getting all the complicated cheshbon of the cycles of zava versus nida. and also the Shitas Rambam is not complicated, but he held a very different Shita. What is Zava anyway? But either way, but really, Anida Midareis Salach of Anida Dereis, if a person sees blood, even if she sees blood on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even day 6, even day 7, she sees blood, but then she's able to have a Hefsek Tara, that day 7, she stops seeing blood, she does a Bedika, and she says that there's no more blood, and she's clean, she could go to the mikvah that night. After the seven days, they were not clean. They were blood those whole days. Midareisa. That's what the lacha is. However, we're machmir assume that everyone is zava gedola, which means that you don't just need 7 days; you need 7 clean days. So therefore, not just for the day that you stop seeing blood, and then we have an extra chumra on top of that, and Ashkenazim even add a chumra on top of that, which is how we get to the end of the day of 5 days. Is that again? So we're assuming because a person might make a mistake with the cheshbon, and therefore we end up saying that. So a little plug of 5 days, you have to wait from the first time you see the blood to start even being have the opportunity to count. For most people anyway, I think in the Matthias is anyways around 4 days is going to be the case. But then after that, you count Shiva Nikiyim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, I guess we finished our time. We'll pick up with Tanya Dvei Eliyahu in tomorrow's Daf, Be'ez Hashem.